following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
I want to continue on this just very briefly tonight on this series that we started back in, I think, September, The Holy Spirit and You. And so we're going to be in Acts chapter 1 again, in Luke chapter 24, say it with me, again, and then we're going to turn to Zechariah. So find your way to Zechariah. Acts and Luke should be very easy for you to find, but Zechariah is one of the last prophets in the Old Testament. And I didn't realize this until this morning when I think I was coming off of the beach. I decided I want to get back to the beach, walk on the beach a little bit. I haven't been down there for probably a couple of months. And so I went down, and maybe it was all the rain that we had, but the beach was a mess. I don't know if anybody was down there today, but just garbage on the beach and all up and down in the surf, probably the rain that washed it out of the rivers. And it was just an absolute mess down there. But while I was on my way off the beach, somebody had texted me and said, "Happy birthday, Pastor Bill." And I'd forgotten that today was my birthday. It's not my physical birthday. It's my big birthday. It's my spiritual birthday. And it was 18 years old, and it was in 1970, 52 years ago, almost right now, that I raised my hand and said, "Yes, I want my sins forgiven. And yes, I want to open my heart to this Jesus you just told me about." And you know how that happened? It happened because God sent somebody to tell me about Jesus. It happened the same way it happened for you. How many of you have been born again? You've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And it's not a religious thing, and you didn't join a church to get saved. You came to a Savior to get saved. And that happened because God sent somebody to talk to you about Jesus. And those people were led by the Spirit, whether they knew it or not. And here's how he does it. He leads, you're going to love this. I think I made this word up. I'm not sure if I did. But he leads leadable people who will go where he says, go. Who just maybe, and maybe they don't even get this sense of, oh, the Holy Spirit is leading me forth today. But it's just, I have a hunch I should go over here. Now, you might call it a hunch. I don't care what you call it. But God led people by his Spirit to speak to me, to share the gospel with me, and to show me Jesus. And a bunch of them did that. And I've mentioned this many times. The best of my recollection, it was 14 people who witnessed to me in one way or another in about a one-year period. I don't know if I was just stubborn and it took a bunch of blows of his holy hammer to chip away was what was in the way. But there were a bunch of them, and that's how you got saved too. In Romans chapter 12, I'm going to read it to you. I think this is from the New Living Translation. But you know this one phrase. How are they going to hear if somebody doesn't tell them? How are they going to hear without a preacher? Listen to this. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Don't you love Paul on this? And how can somebody tell him? How will anyone go and tell them without being sent? And that is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet. Look down at your feet for a second. Oh, you all got shoes on. We're getting close to winter. I knew it was getting close to winter today when I was on the beach and they were dragging all of the lifeguard stations off the beach, getting ready to build the big berm down there to keep the winter waves from coming in. But how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. I don't know if you think you're beautiful or not, but if you have feet that are traveling to tell somebody the good news of Jesus, you got pretty feet. You got beautiful feet. And I just love how God makes a comment about feet. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. So I want to talk about what is often the missing element in the work of the gospel. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. The leading of the Holy Spirit, the empowering of the Holy Spirit. There's no way to measure the impact of the operation of the Holy Spirit on the work of the gospel. It is literally immeasurable. Now somebody can go out and just decide, I'm going to tell 100 people today about Jesus Christ, and that's wonderful. They're going to do that. But there's something so immeasurable about the impact when that person is led by the Spirit, opening up their mouth to speak what God puts in their heart, thinking, why am I saying this? I don't want to say this. But you find out, and I've said this many times, you read some of the prophets in the Old Testament, and it blows my mind that they had the courage to write down those things. Here's a prophet that says, a virgin's going to have a baby. How do you explain that to your prophet buddies? What do you mean a virgin's going to have a baby? Something has to happen. She's no longer a virgin. But they had the courage to write down what God said. And when you have the courage to speak what God puts upon your heart to someone who's empty as can be, and you share the good news of Jesus Christ with them, and maybe in a unique way, I've said this many, many times, and just this one little snippet of what Cheryl Yager spoke to me on the campus of Lakewood High School. And it's somewhere, I know what date it was. It was the same day that I got saved because I went with her to her Bible study that night. I was pushing back against her witness to me, saying, Cheryl, I'm glad that works for you. I don't really need Jesus. I've tried Jesus. I was born and raised in a church, and I knew all about that. I knew how to do church. I just didn't know Jesus. But she started talking to me about the drugs that I was filling my body with, and she'd been a drug addict. And I said, oh, look, Cheryl, God made everything, right? She said, yeah. And then he made all the stuff that drugs are made out of, right? She said, well, yeah. And he made marijuana, right? Right. And so I said to her, well, if God made it, I can smoke it. And I've never heard any other preacher ever say this. And I got to be honest, I don't know that I've ever used this in witnessing to somebody. But she just, with compassion in her heart, she was not my girlfriend. Never became my girlfriend. Just a good friend that spoke truth to me that night. And she said, Bill, he made high cliffs too, but not for you to jump off of. She had no way of knowing where I had been several months before on the precipice of Yosemite Upper Falls, feeling like there were hands trying to push me over the ledge. That was the Spirit of God that led her to say that to me that day. I don't know if she felt, you know, remember what we used to call it? The Holy Ghost goosebumps. I don't know if she felt it. Charles, oh, I got to say this. Oh, this is good. But she spoke that right to me that day. And that began to chip the ice from around my heart. You can see the lack of impact when I decide I'm going to go do God's work in my own power. I'm going to do ministry by memory. I've got the magic combination. I'm going to do that combination every time. And you never get off script. You're going to miss some fish if you're fishing for men. If you don't just lean into what the Holy Spirit is telling you to say. But if I decide I can do God's work in my own power without inviting the work of the Holy Spirit, or without responding to and cooperating with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to miss some. And I don't want to miss any. How about you? I want to catch as many as I can for the King. But isn't it both humbling and exciting to know? And think about this. God who made everything that you see was made out of direct creation by God. That same God wants to use us in this work of redemption and restoration and rescue of lost men and women and boys and girls. He says, step into this with me. Does he need us? Absolutely not. But he says, why don't you work with me? Why don't you travel with me? Why don't you put up your sail and catch the wind of the Spirit? And say what I put in your heart to say in Acts chapter 1. Flip over there with me if you would. Acts chapter 1. You know it. I know you've got this one memorized. Jesus is hanging out with his disciples one last time. And they're wanting to know, well, is this the time? Is the kingdom coming? And he says, I'll just paraphrase it. That's none of your business. You don't need to know that yet. It's not for you to know, verse 7, not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has put in his own authority, but you, read this with me if you got it open there, but you shall receive cleverness. No, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, to which none of them wanted to go, and to the end of the earth. Now flip back, same writer, his first book, turn back to Luke chapter 24. Got it there? Verse 45, Jesus has appeared to his disciples. They're hunkered down and hiding out in the upper room, and they're afraid that they're going to get caught. Now Jesus is alive again from the dead. He's had an encounter with two of their friends walking down the road to Emmaus, about 12 to 14 miles, I think pretty much east of Jerusalem. And so he comes and he speaks to them. Verse 45, he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning right here, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but stay right here. He says, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And we've covered that in some of our other sessions together on this. So I'm not going to go back into that again. I wanted to go there just so you could see. He's saying to them, there's more, there is more, there is more. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you will become my witnesses. Now go to Zechariah chapter 4, and this is where we'll close tonight. What Jesus was saying in Luke 24 and Acts chapter 1, he says, don't just go off with what you know. They had the script of the gospel. They knew what message they had to take, but he's saying, I want you to wait not just for more information and not just for inspiration. I want you to wait for an impartation of power that's going to come upon you by the Holy Spirit. Then you're going to be ready to go. And it will change everything. Don't just go off in your own power. Now look at this in chapter 4 of Zechariah. I'm going to read from the beginning of it. But, you know, I might skip a little bit because I want to get down to the middle part here. But starting in verse 1, now the angel who talked with me came back and awakened me as a man who is awakened out of sleep. And he said to me, what do you see? So he sees this vision. He said, what do you see? And so I said, I'm looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold, a bowl on top, and the stand has seven lamps with seven pipes of the seven lamps. Two olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl, the other is at its left. And so I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? In other words, what's this all about? What am I looking at? What are these? Verse 5, and the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. And so he answered and said, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, the temple builder. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain. In other words, mountain, big mountain, I'm going to mow you down. I'm going to flatten you out. You're going to become like a plain. And he shall bring forth the capstone. Oh, I love this part. With shouts of grace, grace to it. That sounds like a little bit of theater on God's part. But he says, we're going to solve this problem that has stalled you. Do you remember what the old men did when the foundation was laid of the temple? Were they thrilled with it? Were they happy with it? They wept because the old men said, oh, this is nothing like the former temple. This isn't as good. And so it discouraged everybody. And so he says, you got, we're gonna lay this thing down, and this mountain is going to come down with shouts of grace, grace. And moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hand shall also finish it. And then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. Listen carefully. For who has despised the day of small things? He says, why are you so discouraged? We're not done. We're just getting started. This is just the beginning. Who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. You know what that means? He's taken the tools out of the toolbox. And we're going to continue to build until this thing is built. And they are the eyes of the Lord who scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. And I tell you, I feel this right now. I shared this a little bit with the guys. Our pastors went away for a couple of days at the beginning of this week. We just got back yesterday. I'm going to share this in a time that we had, but this, it came so alive to me again today, that this idea that this, it's just, it's too hard. So there's nothing big that's happening. And God says, we're just getting started. I think what grieves us grieves the heart of God too. I can't imagine God looking down last night, watching the results on Prop 1, let alone other things, saying, oh, this is cool. I can't imagine God not being grieved with what he saw. And I can't imagine God not having a plan to counter that darkness. But it won't be by our might. It won't be by our spirit or our power. It won't be by our cleverness. It'll be under the leadership of his Holy Spirit. It's going to come down. Do we want to make a difference in our world? Do we want to make a difference in our nation, in our city, in our state? You know, the greatest impact you can make in your state is not by moving to Texas, but by saying, God, what about here? What about here? I tell you, I'm looking at Tennessee's looking good. Kentucky looks pretty good. And for a man from Cincinnati, for me to say Kentucky looks good, that's saying something. But God has us here. He wants to do something here. And I want to be involved in here. I want to see what he wants to do here, and I want to be a part of it. And it'll only be by God's power and the cooperation with the living, breathing Holy Spirit, that some call it the breath of God himself among us, upon us, and through us. Strongholds will be broken, I believe. And evil, deep evil, will be overcome. And not just by another Supreme Court decision, but by the changing of hearts of multitudes of young women and young men with an unplanned pregnancy. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I wonder how many of us in here were an unplanned pregnancy. I'm sure glad mama let me be born. I took my daughter, Shannon, you know Shannon, that was her daughter. My first granddaughter, Emmy, was singing tonight. But I took her mama, Shannon, with me to Israel probably 10 or 11 years ago. And we did a pro-life conference together. She sang and I preached and I spoke for a little bit, and I said, I'm going to have my daughter come up and share with you. And so she came up and shared a beautiful song. And I said there, and I told everybody that was there, I said there were forces in 1975 that did not want you to hear that voice. Because when Joy went into the doctor's office feeling like she might be pregnant, the nurse said, well, yeah, you are pregnant, but you don't have to have this one. She knew we had another daughter that was just about a year old. Yeah, you don't have to have this one. And Joy said, why would I not have this one? I said, well, you got a young one. Maybe you want to wait. You can wait till a better time. She said, why would I wait? This woman pushed back 3 times to try to kill my daughter, Shannon. Oh, how could I mean, I couldn't do anything except weep halfway through the message that I had to speak that night after hearing my daughter's beautiful voice. Strongholds will be broken. under the power of the Holy Spirit. Deep evil will be overcome in our lives, in our city, in our nation, in this confused, out-of-control state that we live in, that we love so much. And yet, we so often lean on our own power to get the work of God done, and our own limited understanding, our own intellect, our own resources. Let me tell you about our resources. The truth is, we're not rich enough to get the work of God done on our own resources. We're not smart enough to do it either. And we're not talented enough to do it without the outpouring of the Spirit of God. We're not well connected enough to bring the dynamic change and the breakthrough of salvation to one more soul without the power of God upon us and through us. We are desperately in need of the power and the presence of the Spirit of God. And these may just be, like with Zechariah, these may just be the days of small beginnings, but God wants to do a great work. And it will be by the Spirit of God moving in and through us. Does that, Pastor Bill, does that mean we're going to go Pentecostal? Does that mean we're going to get wild in here? Let me tell you something. Please listen carefully. I'm not going to go by anybody else's playbook. I believe that God is waiting for a person, a couple, or for a family, and for a church to say, God, we want to go your way. And the wind blows where it wants to blow. And you can hear the sound, but you don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. But I'll tell you this, I want to put up my sail and go there. Don't you? I do. And I don't know what that's going to mean yet. But I'm going to be waiting on God. I'm going to be talking to God about it. And I hope you are too. But I do believe it's going to result in something. And I want to share a song with you. I'm going to probably ask the worship team to come back out too. But this bench here is only big enough for one piano player. So I'll get out of his way in a minute. This is a song from a guy from Ireland who's been here.
Robin Mark. He did an album called Revival in Belfast. Go listen to it online. You can get it on Spotify or wherever you can, or YouTube for free. But let me tell you the words. It's going to be up on the screen too. No, not by might. Wonder where he got that idea. Not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, O Lord. Healer of hearts, binder of wounds, and lives that are lost, restored. Flow through this land till every man praises your name once more. I'm going to tell you what this is all about. This, oh God. Father, I pray that you'd help us to keep our hearts pure in this. Lord, I believe we're standing at the threshold as a congregation of trusting you in a new way and moving in a fresh way, Lord. Because when your Spirit is moving, it's always going to be a fresh thing, and fresh life is going to burst forth. And Father, may this always be, may there be no big names in this church except Jesus. Only Jesus. Father, we don't need to make celebrities out of anybody. We just want the world to know how good you are. So Father, we sing this to you tonight. A recognition that it's not by our power, or by our own might, but it's by your Spirit. So listen to this one time and then sing it with me.
No, not by might, nor even power, but by your Spirit. Restore.
Let's stand together and sing this together. No, not by might. Make it a declaration, a confession in your heart. No, not by might, nor even power, but by your Spirit, O Lord. Healer, healer of hearts, binder of wounds, lives that are lost, restore, flow and flow through this land till every man praises your name once more. Sing this again. I'll bet anything that there for some of you, as you were singing these lines of healer of hearts, you know of some broken hearts and binder of wounds. You know some people that are terribly bruised and bound up. They're just prisoners. Lives that are lost that need to be restored. As you sing this again, just let those minds kind of percolate to the top of your mind and sing this over them. They're not here, but sing it over them. Sing it in reference to them, that they would be the healed hearts, and they would be the ones whose wounds are bound up and healed, and they would be the lost lives that are restored. And let's just bring them to God right now. Let's sing this again.
No, not by might,
everybody.
Nor even power. Healer of hearts, binder of wounds, binder of wounds, lives that are lost, restore and flow through this land till every man praises your name once more.
I've got somebody in my mind right now, and I can just see them again lifting their voices to praise the Lord, to praise Jesus. That's not happening right now, but I believe it's going to happen.
Flow through this land till every man praises your name once more. So no, not by might, and nor even power, but by your Spirit, O Lord, healer of hearts, binder of wounds, lives that are lost, restored, flow through this land till every man praises your name once more.
Lift your hands to the Lord if you want tonight the Spirit of God to come down upon you and refresh you and renew you. Father God, you see our hands lifted up to you. Lord, we stretch them up to you because our hope is in you, Lord. Yes, we want to know the truth of the gospel. We want to know the script. We want to know what to say. We're not sent out to make up anything new, Lord, but just to let people know their sins can be forgiven, to see bondages broken, and depressed people find hope and joy and overflowing life. So, Father, we stretch our hands to you because we're saying, Lord, we want the fullness of your Spirit upon us. We want to learn to set our sail and move with your Spirit, Father, when you tell us to go here or there, when we get these strange thoughts and notions and nudges from you to make that phone call and turn left instead of right and wait to see what's going to be right in the middle of our road. So, Father, fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord God, and help us to be leadable Christians as we leave these doors, Lord, tonight. And maybe even before we leave, that you would strangely, Lord, but somehow lead us to someone who's right here that needs a word of encouragement or prayer. So, Father, we just want to be your people about your business, your mission. So have your way with us, Lord, and fill us and overflow us, because we can't do this in our own power, our own might, but only by your power. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. May the Lord have his way in you and through you. May you see him do great things in you. Grace and peace to you and power. Oh, you know what would be the worst thing in the world? Maybe not the worst thing. I could probably think of other worser things. But the idea that all of this had to happen has to happen in these walls. No, it's out there. And it will always be out there. And some of it happens in here too. But all the greatest work is what happens when we leave this place and saying, God, I'm going to catch the wind of your Spirit. I'm going to say what you want me to say in the strangest of places, a coffee shop, or wherever you might be. God's going to set you up. When he sets you up, speak up and show up and reach out. God bless you. I can't wait to hear when we get back what God has done through you. Bless you.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.